demanded an urgent and horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now, this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
Top story of the day. We're keeping our eyes on the Buffalo Bills-Pittsburgh Steelers game. Sounds like it is a go. That game coming up at 2:30. We'll have it for you here on KFKA. The sun was shining this morning. It was, I looked at a couple of pictures online and, you know, you get the field was absolutely clear. It's the stands that they're still trying. Where do you put all that snow, Angel? Snow Angel. see what happened there? That was kind of fun. Enjoyed that.
I think they have like these giant trough looking things that they run down the stands and you just scoop all the snow into there and then push it down to the field and dispose of it there, I guess.
Fans were asked. I was wondering, the fans, did they just volunteer? They were being paid $20 an hour working out there.
Be out there all day.
Oh, yeah, man. Shoveling
$20
snow.
An hour?
Yeah.
Work for 15 hours.
Volunteers being paid $20 an hour.
Tell everybody else, no, go home. Mm-hmm. I got this.
I'm going to do it all. How cold is it supposed to be there? Do we know at this point how bad it's going to be? Are they expecting more snow even this afternoon? I mean, they were getting snow at an alarming rate yesterday.
Be around anywhere from 19 to 14 degrees.
Okay.
Possible snow showers.
Man, they were getting, on Sunday at one point, snow was falling at a rate of more than 2 inches per hour. And as we said, crews worked overnight, with the Bills making a plea for more volunteers early Monday. Now, that's one issue. The other issue is the roadways. People just getting out, driving. You're inviting a lot of people to get out on the road and come to these games. It was reported that at least Steelers players really wanted to push to play that game yesterday. I mean, at some point, it's not just about the cold on the field. Like, we had one of our texters last week asking about the safety of the players on the field. It's not just about that. It's about the roads. When you invite more people to a large event, they're getting out on the roads, and you've been to an NFL stadium. You've been in, you've been out of the parking area. On a nice night or day, it can be a battle getting out of there. But people sliding all over the place with snow everywhere. That makes for a really dangerous situation. So I don't have any issues with it. The problem is if you would have had to reschedule this one from today to tomorrow, now you're really putting the playoffs in jeopardy. You know, the fairness discussion comes in, having Buffalo and Pittsburgh play on a Tuesday when they got to go back and play later this week, you know, just a few days.
Yeah, and I saw a few things come up about, we'll postpone this game, but negative 40 wind chill, that's fine.
We have to
appease our streaming overlords.
You're talking about the Dolphins-Chiefs game.
I say play the game either way, but
not
it's
if
just
it
curious
impacts
how it was
the
like.
Roads. If it impacts the roads, that is the great equalizer. That changes everything. And I don't know, was it icy there?
There's ice on the field still, yes.
Was it with driving conditions bad? It's like, honestly, it's football. You're getting paid a lot of money. I get it. If you're scared about it, worried about it, the cold. But
I get the travel stuff, but like I think in terms of player safety.
Yeah. Player safety, play. That's football for you, right? But when it comes to the roads, you can't put people in danger. You can't do that if it's that bad. You know, it comes along to the same discussion of COVID and all that stuff. When it was so bad, it was like, okay, the players can play, but now we just don't want to have massive gatherings or whatever, depending on your view on all that stuff. The cold sucked, sure, for the Chiefs and the Dolphins, but for me, it's once it impacts the roads, that's when it's like, okay, now you're impacting everybody. People that don't want anything to do with this football game. You're impacting emergency vehicles that need to be out saving people and helping people. People that have to be out on those roads because their jobs really insist that they get from point A to point Z. So that's where I get it. The Bills reminded fans attending Monday's game to please dress appropriately for the cold weather, including waterproof boots and pants. Bills Mafia is like, don't tell me what to wear. I'm wearing a swimming suit now, bro. Now this is happening. The National Weather Service forecast for today called for a chance, as Angel said, of snow showers through the early afternoon, the high of 18 degrees. Temperatures were expected to dip to 14, with winds ranging from 8 to 16 miles per hour. I think all this just bodes well for Buffalo. They're 10-point favorites. I would have taken that line if it were just a regular game and there weren't, and we weren't seeing bad weather coming up. The Bills are going to smoke them. I think the Eagles are going to smoke the Buccaneers, and we're going to have all but one game be really bad games. That's unfortunate. I think next weekend will be much better, but this weekend was bad, and I think we're going to continue to see that. I could see like the Steelers-Bills game just being ugly. And the Bills win, like I said. Maybe they do get a field goal. Like 17-3, something like that. Maybe the Bills get to 20, 21, and the Steelers find a way to get a touchdown. But I think this is a big day for the Buffalo Bills. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Meanwhile, you've got Mr. Harbaugh, the recent national champ, visiting with the Chargers. Michigan head coach Jim Harbaugh meeting, well, probably by now they've met or they are meeting with the Los Angeles Chargers in his first interview of this hiring cycle. According to Adam Schefter, a decision is not expected to be imminent for either side. Harbaugh will be deliberate with any decision he makes about his future. Okay. Don't want you to not be. The Chargers still are going through interview process and have other candidates that they plan to speak with. Kind of sounds like where it was last year. A lot of people thought he was going to make that jump to the NFL. I think if you thought that last year, you certainly think that this year. I would be shocked if he goes back to Michigan. You?
I would be.
Yeah. At this stage? With everything that happened last year, plus you won it. Had they not, you know, maybe if they would have lost in the first round of the playoffs or lost in that national championship game, I'd feel a little bit probably more down the middle that, okay, unfinished business. I want to win a national championship in college before I go to the NFL again. But now that he's got it and all the crap that you put up with, not say it wasn't self-induced crap, not here to debate that today, but all that stuff that happened, plus winning it, what else is there? You got through it all. You went undefeated. You won a national championship. You weathered the storm. You survived the suspensions, both of them. One for buying a burger and one for hiring that Stallions dude to go out and cheat, allegedly, for you. Get some film study for you. So I would imagine he's going to be the next head coach of the Chargers. Have we heard anything on the Raiders yet? Antonio Pierce?
I saw that they're moving forward with Pierce.
Good. Are they really? That's
I'll
good. I'm glad. I mean, I'm not glad because I think he's going to be a decent coach for this team. He's got him believing. But good for him and good. Listen, I know we're Raiders haters in Colorado, but I just like to see good decisions being made when we see so many terrible ones.
Not quite. They are still looking to interview Leslie Frazier.
Oh, that'll get it started.
And potentially Jim Harbaugh, because they do have interest.
Yeah, I can see that.
But Max Crosby came out in full support of Pierce.
Is this a false report? Did Max Crosby say he didn't know if he wanted to be there if they didn't hire Antonio Pierce? I think that's fake. I think it's fake news. But both Devontae Adams and Max Crosby are coming out saying, hey, we want him.
He will explore a trade request if Pierce isn't retained.
How about that? That is a guy flat out going all in. I have got your back to the end of time. Kind of a, you know, it's a gutsy move by Crosby. I respect it. You know, put your money where your mouth is. Put your situation where your mouth is, I suppose.
Will the Raiders do the right thing?
I don't know. That it's like the Raiders. It's Davis Jr. It's the bowl cut, haircut guy. mean, he makes a terrible decision every week when he chooses to get that haircut. I don't like to make fun of people's physical appearance, but when you choose that every day, that's a decision that you are making and cutting your hair that way. So what makes me think that you're going to hire the right coach? The coach that got buy-in, the coach that had some momentum to end the season for you. And you got your star players, your two star players. One of them already mad because you let Josh McDaniels move on from Derek Carr. One of the main reasons Devontae Adams wanted to play there. So you got to start doing right by some of your stars. I know the players don't always get that much control, but in this situation, in this case, it's the only move. Leslie Frazier? What are we?
Guy that took a year off and going to come back and suddenly lead your team?
Yeah, I just...
Versus a guy that's been in the system for a few years and players like him, fans seem to like him.
I mean, Leslie Frazier, when was he...
He was with Buffalo for...
As a DC?
A little bit, yeah.
He was last a head coach with the Vikings from 11 to 2013. That was the last time he was a head coach. I don't understand that. I don't even understand the interview. Pierce is interviewing, though, isn't he? He's going to be talking to people. I'm telling you, man, there was buy-in there with the Raiders. Yeah, they got smoked. Who was that against when they just absolutely got torched and then the very next week? Or no, when they couldn't score anything.
They beat the Chargers.
Was it the Steelers game, though, where there was like 3-0?
I think so.
And then the very next week, the Raiders scored 8 million points? That's bounce back. You know? That's getting buy-in from your guys. Be silly if the Raiders did not make that move. 18 minutes after the hour, talking CSU men's basketball with Steve Ivey. He's our Rams Hoops insider. We'll catch up with him coming up next. The Rams are out of the top 25, and they have a crucial week coming up. It was a crucial week before they lost two in a row in the conference. It's even more so now. We'll talk to Steve. It's a whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
No Broncos. Oh, well, playoffs should be fun. Hear every NFL playoff game on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Just 22 minutes after the hour, welcome back into The Hull Show, powered by Chevron. Live from the Aloe Fiber Studios, joining me now is Steve Ivey, our CSU Men's Hoops insider. Check out his blog and his podcast, available at crackerscollegehoops.wordpress.com. Steve, my man, we did see this, missed it earlier, but got it. CSU did fall out of the top 25, but just barely. They're the first one out.
Hey, Brady, before we get into the basketball talk, I was intrigued by all the wrestling chat, really. I don't want to move off of that quite yet. Where do you stand on Mankind?
Oh. I mean, you know, he was Mankind, and I mean, what was he, Cactus Jack, Mankind, and what was the other one? He had like a hippie guy he was, too. Absolutely love Mankind. Just one of the best. Mr. Socko? I mean, come on, Steve. You can't tell me.
I had to bring him up because he's one of the illustrious graduates from my high school on Long Island. His dad was the men's basketball coach.
Seriously?
And athletic director. So
what?
Yeah, he's from my high school. His name is Mick Foley.
Yeah. I don't have it anymore. I had his book back when he was wrestling. I had his book. Man, I had all those guys were writing books at one stage. It was like a really hot item, and I had it for sure. Did you ever meet him?
I did not. He's 10 or 15 years behind me. But the other interesting fact about him, I don't know, one of his best buddies in high school was Kevin James.
No way. I didn't know that. No.
They were in high school together. Yeah.
Listen to all these wrestling connections. Steve went to the same high school as Mick Foley. We got Brock Lesnar's daughter at CSU. Now we got Bill Goldberg's son going to CU. I mean, and those are all the guys that I kind of was at the beginning of the Brock Lesnar stuff, and then I got out of it. But all very entertaining wrestlers.
Oh my gosh, we all grew up on that stuff. Come on, that's part of going from youth to manhood. You know.
Yeah, all the actual men listening right now are like, oh man, that's a burn, Steve. We still love some. I don't even know who are the good wrestlers now. I don't even know anymore, man.
You've grown up.
I've grown up. I've gotten out of that world, no question about it. Well, I'm glad to know that at one point, you know, you were in the same area as Mick Foley. He's a legend, no question about it, man. All right, Steve, let's get into it. Basketball hoops, 26th. How are we feeling about CSU falling out of the top 25?
You know, it was. Some people thought they'd stay in. Some people thought they'd stay out, and they finished just outside the top 25. I'm not a big. I don't really get wrapped up in the top 25 stuff. It's really wonderful for the program to get recognized, but a lot of it's a beauty contest. And CSU lost their last two games, both really, really tough road games. And we know how hard it is to win on the road. Teams that moved into the top 25, you know, TCU moved into the top 25 with a nice home win over Houston, but that's a beauty contest win because that's a team that lost by double digits to Mountain West Conference team Nevada on a neutral court. So it's who's hot right now, and CSU definitely fell out because of the, you know, first the loss at Utah State and then the tough loss at Boise State last Tuesday night. So, you know, it was a tough environment. I think you had Nico on, and a very tough environment up in Boise with a sellout crowd of over 12,000 people. It's tough to win on the road, and it's really tough to win at a place that has the nation's longest winning streak, Boise State. It's on to bigger and better things now. It's time to move off of those and move on to what's up ahead of them.
Yeah, it's a crucial week here. And again, we knew these were going to be games that you have to win with the Air Force game and the UNLV game, both at Moby Arena. But now even more so, it feels like the pressure is on for CSU to quickly get the bad taste out of their mouth.
Yeah, you know, and Brady, you hear this all the time in sports. It's not about who we're playing. It's about us. And these two games coming this week, they really are about CSU getting back on track to the way they were playing at the end of November and early December when they went on that four-game tear. They suffered a couple of injuries. First, Jalen Lake with a broken finger, Josiah Strong with a broken wrist. They're getting back to health, and it's time now to get back to the way they were playing a little over a month ago. And so it is about them and sharpening their game. They lost a little bit of the sharpness in the last month, and it's time to turn it around. And Air Force is a good opponent to see how to measure themselves against.
Do you look at this situation where, okay, we got a lot of season left here, a lot of Mountain West. I mean, we're barely getting into it. You could look at it where two tough road games, Utah State and Boise State, where maybe it's one of those situations, and speaking of like kind of those cliche things, maybe it's good to lose a couple of these early at this point, especially on the road, and you learn a lot more about yourself, and you can use that as fuel down the stretch when you are, because you still got a ton of difficult games on the road and at home.
You know, I think that's a great point. I mean, obviously, there were two good opportunities to win against teams that are expected to compete. And you're going to have to win road games if you're going to win the Mountain West Conference. So part of it is two lost opportunities. But as you said, best to get it out of the way and learn more. I think they learned a lot in that in both the Utah State game in terms of how they have to play. And I think they played reasonably well against Boise State. They just didn't make shots and had somebody make shots from Boise State. And so, but I think they learned that you've got to be so close to perfect to beat a good team on the road. And they definitely didn't bring their A game to either Logan or Boise. So I think you're right in the sense that there's something they're going to learn about what it takes to win on the road in the Mountain West.
Yeah, Steve, you mentioned it, talking about the bad shooting night for CSU, 4 of 16 from the three-point line. How important is a game like tomorrow early, like those first 5-6 minutes, to see that ball go through the hoop?
I think it's going to be important, period, the rest of the season, to be honest with you. And I wouldn't necessarily get hung up on tomorrow or even Friday, you know, because the thing that you find, and if you look at the numbers, it's probably a little harder to shoot on the road in an unfamiliar gym. And so I think just playing, moving the ball, not turning the ball over, playing good, sound defense are the things that we're going to be looking for this week. And then when they go on the road, I think the next road game's at Nevada. That'll be a tough game. That's going to be important for them to see the ball go through the hoop.
When do you, like, when you look at the rest, not the rest of the schedule, but even just the next 2 weeks or so, being on the cusp, just right on the outside of the rankings, and I know you're saying, hey, I don't pay attention to it that much, but a lot of fans are certainly, you know, wondering what it's going to take to squeeze back in there. Obviously, wins over Air Force and UNLV shouldn't do that, but if you win the next three, you go into Nevada and you win that game, the Rams should be right back into the top 25, no problem, right?
Absolutely. I think they'll be in if they win the two games this week.
Okay, okay.
You know, Air Force will be a good test. You know, they haven't won a game yet in the Mountain West. They lost a really tough game to San Jose State on a buzzer beater on Saturday. So they're going to be a little down. And it's a tough climb for them in the sense that, you know, they don't have the advantages the other teams have in terms of going into the portal and getting transfers. It's a tough go for Air Force, but they're a dangerous team. They were within 4 points of Nevada at Nevada with 6 minutes to go last week, and before they kind of fell victim. So that's going to be a really good test for them structurally, you know, with the Princeton offense. They're very, very disciplined. They're just not real athletic, but they can make shots on you if you don't concentrate. But, you know, UNLV, let me talk about UNLV because they're a very, very underrated team. I've categorized them as probably the biggest super spoiler we're going to see in the Mountain West. They had a terrible out-of-conference record. They're basically 6-7 against Division I teams. But here's an interesting fact about them, Brady. If you look at their average win, the net ranking of the teams they beat, they're third in the country behind only Arizona and Purdue and ahead of Wisconsin. They have the best record against in terms of beating teams with high net rankings of anybody in the Mountain West. Their problem is they lose to bad teams. So you don't know what you're going to get with UNLV. If you get good UNLV, you get the team that had Utah State beat by 4 with 14 seconds to go and figured out a way to give up a 5-point play with 8 seconds on Saturday. They beat Creighton by double digits. They're a very, very talented team. You just don't know if you're going to get that team on any given night.
So you're saying, you know, not so fast here. Be careful, Rams fans. You got to take care of these teams at home. You can't be overlooking both of these programs and on to the next big one against Nevada.
Absolutely. Every game is a fight. And you know, you talk to any Division I coach, and they'll look at you square in the eye and say it's hard to win basketball games. It really is. Everybody's a scholarship athlete. And so, Air Force isn't quite as good technically, you know, I mean, on paper, but they can pull off the upset. And, you know, UNLV's won their last two games in Moby Arena. They won here 2 years ago when CSU was ranked in a 6 seed in the NCAA. UNLV came in here and beat us by, I think, 15 points. It wasn't even close. So, yeah, that'll be a tough battle on Friday, no doubt. But first, I got to get through Air Force.
Steve Ivey joining us. If you want in-depth coverage of all things Colorado State hoops, then check out crackerscollegehoops.wordpress.com. Big weekend on the women's side of things. Not only did they get the win against New Mexico over the weekend, but Becky Hammon was in attendance for that one. So I know that's always a big moment there when you can get arguably one of the most popular, greatest Colorado State Rams in their history there at your game.
I think she comes. I saw her. I can remember the last time she was there, but I've seen her. I didn't go to the game on Saturday, but there was a great picture that showed up on social media by a gentleman named Brian Burton. Brian is in the media. I don't know if you've ever had him.
I have, yeah. I've met him. Yep, I have talked to him a couple of times.
Great. great guy, but he had his picture taken with Becky, and in the background, up from the ceiling, is Becky's number 25 hanging from the rafters. And I thought it was an unbelievable picture. I refer to Becky as the godmother of CSU, with that banner hanging over everybody that takes the court. Just an unbelievable talent, and what a great career she's had beyond CSU in the WNBA, first as a player, Hall of Fame career, and then now as a top coach.
No, it's really cool to see what she continues to do. Still think, maybe we might still potentially see her as an NBA head coach someday. She might be the first female head coach in the NBA. I still feel strongly about that.
Yeah, it's you talk to people. You know, people wonder what's going on in Portland. You know, they interviewed her supposedly in Portland, hired Chauncey Billups, and Becky, I think, will end up as a coach in the NBA. There's no doubt she understands the game, and she showed it by working with Popovich at San Antonio, and her teams look really, really good in the WNBA. I think that we know where the next step is for her.
Boy, Steve, if she ever ended up going to Portland, like they interviewed her again, and she took Chauncey Billups' job, then we just got a little more trash talk between Rams fans and Buffs fans. Like, that would be something. That'd add to the legend of this rivalry.
Yeah, that's better than this Goldberg Lesnar.
I don't know, man. It's Bill Goldberg, Steve. It's Bill. He was undefeated at one point, you know.
Undefeated. Obviously, yeah. Now, did you have a poster of him in your bedroom?
I had like the miniature ones that you get. Yes, I ordered the WCW magazines back in the day, and you would get the little tiny ones you pull out. It was like two pages. I would have a couple of those. Yeah, yeah, I did. Sadly, I was that guy.
So I got to tell you, I once worked with a guy who was, you know, a little younger than me when I was working at Hewlett-Packard, and I told him I went to the same high school as Mick Foley. And he came in the next day and he showed me his Mick Foley, his Mankind action figure that he had from when he was a kid, and he had kept it. So, I mean, it's all of us, man. It's all of us.
Let me ask this serious question. Did he have it out of the packaging, or did he open that thing up as a kid?
No,
and play
it
with
was
that
open. I think he might have wrestled him at one time.
I love it, man. Last one for you, Steve, and I don't know if you can answer this one. Do you watch a lot of like Memphis Grizzlies basketball? I kind of just wanted to get an update. I haven't watched as much of David Roddy as I wanted to this season. Wanted to kind of get your thoughts if you've seen any of his NBA games or what you're hearing about him right now, kind of where he is at this stage in his career in the NBA.
He's doing fine. You know, I watch them every once in a while. Their Memphis is decimated by injuries.
No doubt. Yeah.
They played New York. They played the Knicks the other day with eight players on the bench. They had eight players total. They were missing eight players to injury. David started, had a decent game. What was really interesting was I got an email from a friend of mine who lives back in New York, who's a Knicks fan, who watched the game. And he commented on Roddy and said he looked very, very good. So, he's hanging in there, but this is going to be one of those learning experiences for him. I think everybody at some point might have to go through a bad thing before they get to the good things, and it's going to be a rough year for Memphis. They're going to have a hard time winning 30 games this year.
Yeah, when you get the news of Ja Morant finally coming back after his suspension, and then he gets hurt and he's out for the season, it's usually not a good sign for the rest of the year for your entire team. Steve, my man, always appreciate your insight on all things CSU hoops and occasionally historic, legendary WWE wrestlers, too. You never know what you're going to get.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, you know, it's we're all wrestling fans from when we were younger. We all loved it. I mean, I was a big fan in the days of our Andre the Giant. I go back that far. So, but anyway, yeah, it's been something that's near and dear to my heart from when I was a kid. Now it's Mountain West basketball, especially CSU, and I'm really looking forward to the two games this week. It should be good, and we'll have to get you out there, Brady. I know that UNC's starting to take off, starting to play really well. CSU, I think, is about to start getting back to where they were, and I look forward to the next 2 months, the run into the Mountain West Conference tournament.
And it's going to be a busy 2 months for sure. Steve, throw out that info again for our listeners where they can check out your latest podcast, your latest blog each and every week.
I do a podcast weekly on Spotify at Crackers College Hoops. And my blog is at crackerscollegehoops.wordpress.com. I will have a podcast tomorrow morning where I'll get into more depth previewing the Air Force and UNLV games and talk about some other things too. And then I'll write up, I'll have my game article on Wednesday morning, published on Wednesday morning on the Air Force game, and then obviously on Saturday morning for the UNLV game.
I love it, my man. Steve, appreciate you. Be safe out there, stay warm, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Brady, as always, it's great talking to you. As again, stay safe to you too.
All right, my man. Steve Ivey, talking some CSU hoops with us. Always a joy to break it down with him. He's saying, hey, they win these next two games like they're supposed to, which, again, UNLV might pose a little bit of a challenge coming up later in the week. But if you win both those games, you get right back in the top 25. 12:40 the time. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, this is Matt Gaeter, color commentator for UNC Bears football and former UNC offensive lineman. You're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Got our game beer of the week from On the Rocks Liquor from Breckenridge Brewing. The Avalanche. I love this beer. It's a good one, man. So that's going to be our game beer of the week at On the Rocks Liquor. Also, they got their wine tasting. It's a wine tasting this Friday from Vescato Wines, 4 to 7 o'clock on Friday evening. Should be a little bit better weather at that point, so we'll be hopeful anyway. It's inside, so that also helps. So try something new. Get a taster in there, see if you like it. Maybe it becomes one of your new go-tos, one of your new favorites at On the Rocks Liquor, half a mile south of Highway 34 on 47th Avenue. Get your game beer, free wine and beer tastings. They do it every single weekend. Tell them you heard about them right here on The Whole Show, powered by Chevron. Got our poll question of the day locked and loaded for you. Do you think that under Sean Payton, the Broncos will get back to being a regular playoff team? And the reason I lean toward yes is because of what I saw with Russell Wilson. Now that the dust has settled a little bit here, you can go back and take the wide lens approach to the season that was. Russ wasn't good. I stand by it. I know there are the Russ defenders that came out of nowhere at the end of the season, but he just wasn't good. He was average, below average at some, better than last year, maybe even much better than last year, but he was so awful last year. There was really nowhere to go but up. So I do give Sean Payton most of the credit for calming this team down after the Miami debacle and finding a way to be relevant in December. The Broncos haven't been relevant in December since Gary Kubiak was the head coach. And that was the year they went 9-7. They missed the playoffs by like a game or whatever. That was essentially what happened here. You know, you missed the playoffs. You already missed the playoffs going into the second to last week, but you still got to win. Then you lose the next week. I still think that's good for you. I still don't know that the game plan was maybe as well thought out, perhaps, because you wanted to be 12th, not 16th or 17th, which I think will bode well for this team in the future. So I put my things aside. I didn't want Denver to hire Sean Payton. I didn't want them to trade a first round pick for him. Signing him signing him off the street, hiring him, that would have been one thing. But especially after the Russ thing, I was really, really against trading a first rounder for a coach that I'd never really been that crazy about, going back to Bounty Gate and the way he left the Saints. That being said, I can't sit here and deny what I saw throughout the course of the season. This was a better team. Wasn't much better, but there were aspects that were. You know, you were dealing with the rust stuff. You were dealing with starting the season again without Tim Patrick, and it did seem like of all the receivers on this roster, Tim Patrick was going to be the guy that really fit. That's what we kept hearing from Broncos insiders and even the coaching staff, was that Tim Patrick makes a lot of sense. He was kind of very similar to a lot of his Saints receivers back in the day. So you have that situation going on. I'm not like sitting here giving him excuses. It was bad. I thought this team maybe would be a little, well, I was hopeful that this team would be a little bit closer. Honestly, I was right around the 9-win slot. That's kind of where I was sitting this year. I won't say that I predicted that, Angel. I don't remember. Maybe I did hit up. Maybe I got to 10 in my predictions. But I just think that at this stage, you know, he clearly can still coach a team up from where it was the year before. I mean, they won 5 games last year, and it was just bad. The way Hackett seemed to handle things and all that. Now, again, I don't like a lot of the off-field stuff about Sean Payton, the throwing coaches under the bus, the way he handled the Russ thing outwardly. I think he talked about that way too much rather than just doing it. But I am confident that he'll be able to fix this thing. But it's going to come down to who that quarterback is. He's shown us that he needs a guy like Drew Brees. You know, was it Drew Brees or was it Sean Payton? Probably a little mixture of both. I guess we're going to find out. It's just like the Belichick thing. Over the next few years, that argument will become stronger and stronger for or against Sean Payton. But I'm confident he can get there. He said, Chris, I'm sure the Raiders interviews are cosmetic since they are mandated. Are they mandated to have a certain amount of interviews? Like the Leslie Frazier thing is part of the Rooney Rule, I guess.
I think so. I think any head coach opening, you have to interview X number of potential candidates. They had named him coach during the season,
right? Get that? Maybe. Hopefully, it is. I mean, for their sake. Like I said, I don't really care, but I do like it. I always was a big Antonio Pierce fan when he played, so I'd like to see him get a shot as a fan of his. Flying Dutchman, how many Bronco games have ever been postponed? Got me. I don't know the answer to that question. By far the best thing about the Broncos season are those new white helmets. I do like the white helmets with the old school logo, with the D and the Bronco in the middle. I really do. I'm not a big uniform guy. I don't think we need to be asking coaches and everybody about uniforms. I don't care. I want to win. I'm tired of losing. So I don't care about a new stadium. I don't care. But I did dig those. The white helmets with the orange tops, with the orange jerseys. Yeah, that was pretty sweet. 49 minutes after the hour. What do you got? You got something? You got something for me back there?
No, I'm typing in your show notes.
Oh, okay. I thought you found my prediction. Couldn't remember if I predicted 10 or 9 wins. I didn't go 11 because I keep getting crap for predicting them to win.
I want to say it was 10. Because I was like
a little under
8 or 9.
You were 8? I probably have it somewhere. I'll see if I can dig it up. At the top of the hour, we're going to have new member of the Florida Gators football team, Clay Millen. He announced over the weekend that he was going to be transferring to Florida. About a month ago, he entered the transfer portal, maybe a little less than a month ago. And now he's going to go compete. Is he competing for a starting job in Florida?
They have to ask him that, you know, are you more of a beach guy or a mountains guy?
Yeah. Well, he's a Washington guy, right?
Yeah. So yeah, they have both in Washington.
Yes, they are. Yeah, okay. Well, we'll talk to Clay coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. So I'm really looking forward to that chat. You don't want to miss that one. Kind of get his, I don't know how much he'll want to go into it, but we're excited to bring him on. Make it a positive interview, an in-depth interview, whatever we want to call it. We'll be right back.
Football season is over.
It's all over.
But college basketball is heating up. Hear UNC Bears Hoops and Westwood One's coverage of college basketball on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the show. It's The Whole Show powered by Chevron. It's Monday. Stop by Cable's Pub and Grill for all-you-can-eat spaghetti for just $6.99. What better way to warm up than all-you-can-eat spaghetti, man, and treat your wallet okay, too. That's Cable's Pub and Grill here in Greeley, where my friends meet. Surprise, surprise, Caleb Williams is going to enter the NFL draft.
Interesting.
Kind of lost. I didn't think that was a real thing that he wouldn't. In the first couple of weeks, I kind of wondered because, you know, his dad came out and said if it's not the right situation, he might just go back to college and play because he's still making a lot of money and da-da-da-da-da. But he must be okay with either Chicago or Washington or the Patriots. He's not going to go any further than that. We know that. He might not go number one. If he doesn't go number one, I think there's a small chance, small, he doesn't go number two. There's no way he's getting past three. Right?
I could see it.
You could see
where Gerard Mayo wants to go.
I can't
can
see
with
it.
Bailey Zappi, and they're going to take somebody else.
He's got to go to one of those guys. Chicago, I'm like 60% that the Bears are going to stay with Justin Fields.
I'm like 80%.
That they'll stay with Fields?
I think if they weren't, we would have heard something by now. Because like now you're in the midst of coaching search and coordinator searches, which they're still
they're
doing.
Staying,
they have to get an OC.
Yeah, they got to get an OC, but they're staying with their guy.
Maybe they're waiting for which coaches get hired first, who wants to pick up their guys.
And you think that has something for Chicago, has something to do with whether or not they stick with Justin Fields or draft Caleb Williams?
You'd want him to have a coordinator that's going to work with him at least for a year.
And Washington? You think he gets past that? They stick with Sam Howell?
They could. They need a head coach first.
I just don't. And listen, Arizona's likely sticking where they are. So if what you say is a possibility and he somehow escapes the first three, which I don't see as really possible, he won't go to Arizona.
Well, anyone could trade up for him at that point.
Who's fifth? The Chargers? He's not going to the Chargers.
New head coach said, I want to change things up.
Harbaugh, go with a recent college guy. Might be something interesting. Speaking of a recent, not college guy, still in college, recent CSU Ram, former CSU Ram, Clay Millen, had an opportunity to do a little bit of a show with him. Well, we did one every week last year. We started the year with it, but obviously things didn't go the way Clay wanted it to, and now he's got a new beginning coming up. Clay Millen, going to be transferring to Florida. We're going to talk to Clay coming up next.